Hello, this is Jerry Hendricks.
And Adrian Hendricks from Save One More Now Incorporated, where our focus is to lovingly confront all activities that dishonor human life created in the image of God. There is no greater dishonor to God and human life than to reject His eternal salvation only available through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us.
For those who have accepted the Lordship of Jesus, the Anointed One, we will receive the Lord's table at the end of this message with a reminder of the holiness of this action from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 26 through 32. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the Lord's cup in a way unworthy of the Lord will be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy way eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he doesn't discern the Lord's body. For this cause many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep. For if we discern ourselves, we wouldn't be judged. But when we are judged, we are punished by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. If you would like to join us, please take time during the song to prepare a piece of bread or cracker and a little juice.
Today, our focus is on Passover. According to Webster's 1828 dictionary, Passover is a feast of the Jews instituted to commemorate the providential escape of the Hebrews in Egypt when God, smiting the firstborn of the Egyptians, passed over the houses of the Israelites, which were marked with the blood of the Paschal or Passover lamb. Many consider this feast a uniquely Jewish celebration, but there is a deeper significance to this observance that impacts all of humanity. It is quite possible that those Israelites delivered from the iron furnace of Egypt were unaware of the promise made to their ancestor Abram by their Lord God, first at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Leave your country and your relatives and your father's house and go to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who treats you with contempt. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you."
More specific details of this promise and how the Lord saw Abram's response can be seen at Genesis 15. After these things, the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." Abram said, "Lord, what will you give me since I go childless, and he who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus?" Abram said, "Behold, you have given no children to me, and behold, one born in my house is my heir." Behold, the Lord's word came to him, saying, "This man will not be your heir, but he who will come out of your own body will be your heir." The Lord brought him outside and said, "Look now toward the sky and count the stars, if you're able to count them." He said to Abram, "So will your offspring be." He believed in the Lord, who credited it to him for righteousness. He said to Abram, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." He said, "Lord, how will I know that I will inherit it?" He said to him, "Bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon."
He brought them all these and divided them in the middle and laid each half opposite the other, but he didn't divide the birds. The birds of prey came down on the carcasses and Abram drove them away. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram. Now terror and great darkness fell on him. He said to Abram, "Know for sure that your offspring will live as foreigners in a land that is not theirs and will serve them. They will afflict them 400 years. I will also judge that nation whom they will serve. Afterward, they will come out with great wealth, but you will go to your fathers in peace. You will be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, they will come here again, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full." It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. In that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "I have given this land to your offspring, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Thus the Passover marks when the Lord began to accomplish his promise before the eyes of Abram's offspring to take them from mistreatment to rest in their own land. After Pharaoh stubbornly refused to release the people at Moses' words, the land of Egypt suffered 9 plagues while the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived, remained unscathed. Finally, a 10th and final plague was going to be unleashed, which would be the undoing of the Egyptians and the salvation of the Israelites. At Exodus 12, we read, "The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, 'This month shall be to you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to their fathers' houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too little for a lamb, then he and his neighbor next to his house shall take one according to the number of the souls. According to what everyone can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb.
Your lamb shall be without defect, a male, a year old. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at evening. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the 2 doorposts and on the lintel, on the houses in which they shall eat it. They shall eat the meat in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread. They shall eat it with bitter herbs. Don't eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it with fire, with its head, its legs, and its inner parts. You shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, but that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. This is how you shall eat it: with your belt on your waist, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and animal. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall be no plague on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be to you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, even the first day you shall put away yeast out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the 7th day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel.
In the first day there should be to you a holy convocation, and in the 7th day a holy convocation. No kind of work shall be done in them except that which every man must eat. That only may be done by you. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for in this same day I have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. There shall be no yeast found in your houses for 7 days. For whoever eats that which is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a foreigner or one who is born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, draw out and take lambs according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the 2 doorposts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the 2 doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you.
You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to you and to your sons forever. It shall happen when you have come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he has promised, that you shall keep this service. it will happen when your children ask you, "What do you mean by this service?" that you shall say, "It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and spared our houses." The people bowed their heads and worshiped. The children of Israel went and did so as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. At midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also." The Egyptians were urgent with the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, "We are all dead men." The people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes on their shoulders.
The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they asked of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and clothing. The Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have what they asked. They plundered the Egyptians. The children of Israel traveled from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot, who were men in addition to children. A mixed multitude went up also with them, with flocks, herds, and even very much livestock. They baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought out of Egypt, for it wasn't leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and couldn't wait, and they had not prepared any food for themselves.
Now, the time that the children of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the day, all of the Lord's armies went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed to the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be much observed of all the children of Israel throughout their generations. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat of it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he shall eat of it. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat of it. It must be eaten in one house. You shall not carry any of the meat outside of the house. Do not break any of its bones. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. When a stranger shall live as a foreigner with you and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one who is born in the land, but no uncircumcised person shall eat of it. One law shall be to him who was born at home and to the stranger who lives as a foreigner among you." All the children of Israel did so. As the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. That same day the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies.
After they had been away from Egypt for some time, God instructed Moses to have the people observe Passover as an act of remembrance and worshipful obedience without exception. This can be seen at Numbers 9, verses 1 through 14. The Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, "Moreover, let the children of Israel keep the Passover in its appointed season. On the 14th day of this month, at evening, you shall keep it in its appointed season, according to all its statutes and according to all its ordinances. You shall keep it." Moses spoke to the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover.
They kept the Passover in the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did. There were certain men who were unclean because of the dead body of a man, so that they could not keep the Passover on that day, and they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day. Those men said to him, "We are unclean because of the dead body of a man. Why are we kept back, that we may not offer the offering of the Lord in its appointed season among the children of Israel?" Moses answered them, "Wait, that I may hear what the Lord will command concerning you." The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Say to the children of Israel, if any man of you or of your generations is unclean by reason of a dead body, or is on a journey far away, he shall still keep the Passover to the Lord. In the second month, on the 14th day at evening, they shall keep it. They shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it until the morning, nor break a bone of it, according to all the statute of the Passover, they shall keep it. But the man who is clean and is not on a journey and fails to keep the Passover, that soul shall be cut off from his people. Because he didn't offer the offering of the Lord in its appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. If a foreigner lives among you and desires to keep the Passover to the Lord, according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinance, so shall he do. You shall have one statute, both for the foreigner and for him who is born in the land.
The point of the Passover had to do with a lamb sacrifice for the lives of the people being delivered from the bondage of Egypt. That Passover lamb, whose blood was smeared on the doorposts and lintels, caused the Lord to pass over the people under the applied blood. That same Passover lamb pointed directly to God's promise to Abram to bless all the families of the earth through God's lamb, sacrificed for the lives of all humans to deliver them from the bondage of sin and save them from the wrath of God that is coming on the children of disobedience. By the time Jesus walked on the earth, Passover had been observed for centuries in Jewish culture. Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples focused on the part of the meal which we observe as a sacred ordinance today and call communion. Matthew 26, verses 17 through 29 provides the account of Jesus eating the Passover meal with his disciples.
Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying to him, "Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain person and tell him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" The disciples did as Jesus commanded them, and they prepared the Passover. Now, when evening had come, he was reclining at the table with the 12 disciples. As they were eating, he said, "Most certainly I tell you that one of you will betray me." They were exceedingly sorrowful, and each began to ask him, "It isn't me, is it, Lord?" He answered, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same will betray me."
The Son of Man goes, even as it is written of him, but woe to that man through whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born. Judas, who betrayed him, answered, "It isn't me, is it, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You said it." As they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks for it, and broke it. He gave to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave to them, saying, "All of you drink it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins. But I tell you that I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom."
Many people may still not understand the significance of Jesus' sacrifice, but listen to this stunning declaration made by John the Baptist at John chapter 1, verses 29 through 34. "The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I didn't know him, but for this reason I came baptizing in water, that he would be revealed to Israel.' John testified, saying, 'I have seen the Spirit descending like a dove out of heaven, and it remained on him. I didn't recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water, he said to me, on whomever you will see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God.'"
Only the Lamb of God, the Son of God, could take away the sin of the world. And why does this matter? Just because Hebrews 12:14 says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord."
The Apostle Peter exhorts us to exercise diligence toward this requirement at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 23. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be sober, and set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as children of obedience, not conforming yourselves according to your former lusts as in your ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, you yourselves also be holy in all of your behavior, because it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judges according to each man's work, pass the time of your living as foreigners here in reverent fear, knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from the useless way of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb without blemish or spot, the blood of Christ, who was foreknown indeed before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in this last age for your sake, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth through the Spirit in sincere brotherly affection, love one another from the heart fervently, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and remains forever.
The picture is further developed in our invitation at 1 Corinthians 5, verses 7 and 8, to purge out the old yeast, that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed in our place. Therefore, let's keep the feast, not with old yeast, neither with the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Revelation chapter 5 begins to show us the importance of the Lamb of God in heaven. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and outside, sealed shut with seven seals. I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" No one in heaven above or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look in it. And I wept much because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look in it. One of the elders said to me, "Don't weep. Behold, the Lion who is of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has overcome. He who opens the book and its seven seals." I saw in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the middle of the elders, a lamb standing as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came, and he took it out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. They sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the book and to open its seals, for you were killed and bought us for God with your blood, out of every tribe, language, people, and nation, and made us kings and priests to our God, and we will reign on the earth." I saw and I heard something like a voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who has been killed to receive the power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing." I heard every created thing which is in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, on the sea, and everything in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be the blessing, the honor, the glory, and the dominion, forever and ever. Amen." The four living creatures said, "Amen." Then the elders fell down and worshiped.
As a renewal of our covenant with our Father in heaven through the sacrifice of his Son, let us prepare our hearts to receive the Lord's table together. We read Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me.'" Let us take of the bread. "In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in memory of me.'" Let us drink the cup. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Yes, the Passover was given to the nation of Israel, but its application through Jesus extends to every human. Are you part of the family of God? Do you feel the pull on your heart to ask Jesus to make you one of his own? Have you come under the protection of the Lamb of God so that the wrath of God will pass over you? If you believed what you have heard today and you know in your heart that you need Jesus to bring you to the holiness that you now crave, ask him to come into your heart, change your life to conform to his will and ways, and give you the strength to follow him every day. The Passover that God has provided is for all people everywhere. please accept your personal invitation. He is waiting for you.
We at Say One More Now Incorporated encourage all listeners to seek the Lord for His calling in your life. If you faithfully spend time with Him throughout the day, you will come to know without a doubt that He really loves you and He has a purpose for your being here.
We can be reached by email at truelife@saveonemorenow.org or our telephone number in the United States, 850-727-0493. We look forward to joining you next week and ask you to remember,
life is good. God gives life. God is good.